the Battle Site for Christ radio broadcast with preacher Tom Bonvey of New Glasgow, Nova Scotia, Canada. This broadcast is heard every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. on the Just Jesus Radio Network with the hopes and prayers of encouraging Christians and reaching the lost for Jesus Christ. Now with today's broadcast, here is preacher Tom Bonvey.
Okay, now, this has nothing to do with God being omnipresent, being everywhere at the same time. There's nothing to do with that at all. He knows where you are. He knows where I am right now, preparing, delivering this message. He knows where you are right now, what room of the house you're in, where you're listening to the message, maybe in your car. You know, he knows where you are. You can't hide from God, but the verse says, if you seek him. That doesn't mean that if he finds you. It means if you seek him. Understand this right away, people. God doesn't need to find you. God doesn't need to find you. He knows your every move. You cannot. And I emphasize, you cannot hide from God. Go where you want in your closet, down the basement, you know, out in the woods, and climb under a rock, if you will. You cannot hide from God. You cannot. Now, a lot of people look at Genesis 3 and verse 9, which reads, and the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Do you think for a moment that God did not know where Adam was? Or was God playing hide-and-seek with Adam? Well, in verse 10, clarification is given so that mankind can plainly see what was going on here. Adam, who was now a sinner because he ate of the forbidden fruit which Eve gave to him, was now conscious of the fact that he was naked. And it says here, because I was naked and I hid myself. That was Adam's response. Because I was naked. And I hid myself. It's almost comical. He knows, or he knew God could see him, or he would not have made such a statement. Would he? Because I was naked and I hid myself. Who was he hiding himself from? Eve? I don't think so. God is not only omniscient, knowing all things, he also is omnipresent. He's everywhere at the same time, which only God can claim, and he's omnipotent. Okay? He knows everything. He's everywhere. Now, you can't hide anything from God. We have to get that straight in our minds, in our hearts. You can't hide anything from God. You might think, well, maybe God's reading. I just won't be here. I'll do this. I got to read this, or I want to watch this. God, turn off your television set for a second. Wait, I want to do this. No, you can't. Don't underestimate the power of Almighty God. God can see everything you're doing. Now, sometimes he'll turn away from what you're doing. Like when Christ was on the cross, laid down with the sin of the whole world. What did God do? He brought 3 hours of darkness upon the earth because he could not look upon his own son with that burden of sin. God is too holy. He cannot look upon that sin, but he knows it's there. You can't hide from God. God is not in bondage of his own laws. Now let's get back to 2 Chronicles 15, verse 2, and read the second half of the verse. Now, recapping the first half, we read, if you seek him, he will be found by you. The second half of the same verse reads, but if you forsake him, he will forsake you. He will forsake you. Forsake means to renounce or desert, to leave. So if you forsake God, if you renounce or desert him, then God, well, guess what? He will forsake you. He doesn't want anything to do with you if you renounce him, if you desert him. You're on your own, buddy. You're the devil's prey. I got a question. Would this not be a stern, written warning of God? Huh? Now, over in Deuteronomy, we're told that man must seek God to find him. Man must seek God to find him. While over in Isaiah, we're told that man must seek God, seek for God while he has the opportunity. In other words, you don't want to die without God, right? I guess that's why they have the last rites on there, but that's a lot of hocus pocus, because after you're dead, it's too late to seek God. Seeking God is a very personal thing. It's not something that a priest or a preacher can do over your coffin and say, you know, say something to the effect that, you know, God knows, you know, that you love him and stuff like that. It's all hocus pocus from there on, you know. That you must seek him while you still have the presence of mind to do so. You must do it now. Let's bring it down to earth here. Let's bring it down to a greater understanding. And imagine for a moment that one of your children wandered off while you were away from home, having, say, a family picnic or an outing anyway. So what would be the common sense factor here? If your child wandered off, well, let us consider some options. To simplify matters, let us say that your child and God are one and the same. Let's just say that, okay? Now, bear with me. Now, the Bible tells us, if you seek him, God, or the child, then he will be found by you. Now, isn't that wonderful news? If you're looking for your lost child, you find them. That's wonderful news. You're elated. You're almost hysterical with joy. Well, it's the same thing with God. Well, you may not realize it at the moment, but if you seek him, you will find him. Just as God wants us to seek him, so does the child want you to seek him. Seek, and he shall find. Seek, and he shall find. Now, but if we add on the second part of the verse, 2 Chronicles 15, verse 2, which says, but if you forsake him, he will forsake you. In other words, the child, or God, will not want to be found by you. If you forsake God, then you will not find him. If you forsake looking for your child, then you will not find them. You have to seek in order to find. I think that's just plain logic. How else could you put it? Elementary, my dear Watson. It couldn't be more basic, or could it? First of all, two things must be considered here. One is spirit. One is flesh. As you may or may not know, the spirit and the flesh have always been at enmity with each other, always. When seeking something which is spiritual that you cannot see, what would or should you use as a hunting tool? When seeking something spiritual that you cannot see, what would or should you use as a hunting tool? Well, if it's the child you're looking for, then you may require plenty of people to aid you, or tools like ropes and stuff like that to help you. All sorts of gear. However, if it's the Lord God you're seeking, then all you need is, what? Faith. Faith. Now, that's the title of my sermon. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Faith. More on that. Faith is your compass for locating that which is of the Spirit. Now, allow me to paint a picture for you. Well, when we were talking to others about seeking God for salvation, when we're talking about others seeking God for salvation, both the giver, if you're giving the Word of God to someone to lead them to the Lord, both the giver and the taker of the word, the one receiving it, must give and receive in earnest. You must give the word, you give gospel of Jesus Christ in earnest. You don't be all, you know, casual about it. You emphasize what you're saying. You're witnessing to someone is not a casual thing. It's a matter of life and death, really. So, you're the giver, right? Okay, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14 tells us that the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. Do you get that? The natural man, someone who's not saved, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Oh, now come on, get real. No. Neither can he know them, for they are spiritually. The emphasis is on spiritually discerned. In other words, you need to have a spiritual mindset, you know, because you're going to be indwelled by the Holy Spirit as soon as you come to the Lord Jesus. You're going to be indwelled, and the Spirit will be the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, will be your guide from then on. Now, until he is filled, until you or whoever are filled with the Holy Spirit, the natural man will remain just that. He'll remain natural. Natural. But once he repents and believes in the gospel of Jesus Christ, he is no longer a natural man. He has become a child of the King. Now, I know I shouldn't have this problem, but we're talking about people in general, not just the man. We're talking about women, children. We're talking about all civilization, right? Or we're talking about all mankind, if you want to put it that way. All right? So let's get that clear at the outset. Now, over in Romans chapter 3, verse 11, we read, "There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God." Wow. Interesting. Now, Paul, of course, is speaking about the unsaved. The unsaved. The Christ rejectors. The warning, well, it's very clear. Unless these people repent and have a change of heart, God's Spirit will not strive with them. Unless they repent and have a change of heart, God's Spirit will not strive with them, which means God's Spirit will not come in and dwell them and give them direction and joy and peace and comfort. Some preachers, they falsely announce that man cannot seek God. Well, this, of course, is not so. They use the terms like spiritual blindness, which cause the things of God to seem foolish. Well, yes, you are spiritually blinded if you don't want to accept God, if you don't believe, you don't have faith. Yes, of course, you are spiritually blinded. They say man can't seek God, that he is wicked and self-centered, and has no initiative to seek him. Well, this is true in part as well. Until you have a desire to seek God, then naturally you're going to remain the natural man. You're not going to have that desire. Well, how else could you put it? Well, my response to this is quite simple. Man can do whatever God wants of him. If man gives himself over to God and removes his spiritual blinders and gives himself freely to God's perfect will, then man can do whatever God wants of him. Okay? You see, God's in control whether you're saved or not saved. He can do whatever he wants with you. He can give you a longevity, a life, or he can just cut it short anytime he pleases by any means that he so pleases as well. God's not willing now that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, have a change of heart, a turning away from their sinful condition onto God. God has placed inside every man an instinctive longing or desire to know who God really is. Even if man is doing the work of the devil at the time, still inside there's that seed, there's that instinct of desire to want to know, who is this God people are talking about? Man may not recognize it at the time, but inside all of us, God has left his calling card. You got that? God has left a calling card inside us. A seed has been planted that only faith can water. Only faith can water. His word says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But he's waiting to reveal himself to all who will seek him. In Ephesians 2:8-9, we get the message here. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2:8-9, look it up yourself. Now, left to ourselves, we are every man and woman and child without hope. Everyone. We cannot look at a rose and say, it is beautiful, and then stop there. In the same way, we cannot show our faith in God without acknowledging that he really is God. And he has a perfect will for our future. The poet writes that a rose is a rose is a rose is a rose. But until you surrender to its beauty, it will always remain just a rose. Okay? Now, in the same sense, if we truly believe that God really exists, and that he is responsible for the beauty of that rose, then it will become a blessing to last throughout all eternity. God has to be in the picture. Man is sinful and self-centered, and until the indwelling Holy Spirit takes up residence and convicts us of our evil ways, we will argue that point incessantly. But he doesn't stop there. Oh, no, no, no. He not only convicts, the Holy Spirit not only convicts, but gives us the strength to recognize our wrongs and drive them from our wicked souls. God loves us so much that he sent his only begotten Son to cleanse us by the shedding of his blood at Calvary. Comes from John 3:16, of course. Not verbatim. Now, in closing, I want you to hear the closing of this message, please. Tell me, who do you pray to for salvation? That's an easy question. Who do you pray to for salvation? God the Father? God the Son? Or God the Holy Spirit? Who do you pray to? Now, before you answer, consider this. Consider this. Firstly, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are one. Yet each has a separate task. Okay? Now, Jesus said that he and the Father were one. He also said that if you've seen the Son, then you've seen the Father. And secondly, who should you pray to for salvation? Well, the Father, the Son, or the Holy Spirit? Well, keep in mind John, the book of John, chapter 6, verse 44. Now listen carefully. This is very important. Jesus is speaking here. No man, got that? No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day. Once more. No man can come to me, says Jesus, except the Father which hath sent me draw him. And I will raise him up the last day. That's clear. So, who should you pray to for salvation? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, or does it really matter to you? Well, if it doesn't matter, then it would nullify that verse. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. That's what Jesus said. And what's the status quo in today's mega churches? Oh, how soon we forget. Hear this. When Jesus was on this earth, one thing he made perfectly clear, that all honor and preeminence and glory must belong to the Father. To the Father. John 12:28. Father, Jesus saying, Father, glorify thy name. Then there came a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. John 31:32. Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. 1 Corinthians 6:20. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 1 Peter 4:16. Yet if any man suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. We have a song, which is the title of my sermon. Well, to God be what? The glory. To God be the glory. Right? Great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son. Actually, the title of my message is Faith is a Victory, but through faith comes the glory to God. Through faith. By grace are ye saved through faith. To God be the glory. Great things he has done or hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son. My friends, think. Why did Jesus really come to this earth? Yes, of course, to die for our sins, we know that. But in so doing, what would be the end result? Here it is. Glorifying the Father in heaven. Everything Jesus did upon this earth, he did it to glorify his Father in heaven. That's why he came, to die for us, to glorify his Father. You know, even jungle savages look upon the stars and seek after God. Seek and ye shall find. In conclusion, and I'll close with this, God makes himself known by his creation. Remember I talked about the rose? And through his word, that's the Bible, the King James authorized 1611 Bible. But he holds us responsible to consciously seek him. Us. We must seek him. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. Now, since God is omnipresent, since God is everywhere, he can always easily be found. You know, faith truly is the victory. May you be blessed by these words. Thank you for listening. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Listening to the Battle Site for Christ radio broadcast with Preacher Tom Bonvy. For all correspondence, email Brother Bonvy at tbonvy@gmail.com. That's tbonvie@gmail.com. We also ask you to check out the website at tillhecomes.net. There you'll find a copy of today's message. That's tillhecomes.net. It is the heart's desire of Preacher Bon V that today's broadcast has been a blessing and encouragement to you, and that you'll be listening again for the Battlesite for Christ radio broadcast.